pray. Almighty God, guide the nations of the world into the way of justice and truth, and establish among them that peace that is the way of righteousness, that the world may become your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It is so good to be with you this morning. It is a beautiful day. It is a very important day. And the wealth of the readings that we have been gifted with this morning, that if you're willing to sit for a week, we could go through all of them. But I want to touch on something that is nearer to my heart and probably your heart today. All too often in the past year, I and others who preach have found ourselves having written one sermon, awakening to news that compels us to rewrite the sermon by the time it is to be preached. From the pulpit, we need to address issues of our time and move from the place of political analysis or opinion to a theological grounding and reflection. So this is our ongoing challenge as preachers. And I commend our clergy and our lay preachers who work diligently to stay current and to lead congregations effectively during this time when the winds of change blow frequently and fiercely. So thank you, Amber. Often our first response is a call to prayer. Last week, with the U.S. and Israeli attack on Iran, the Archbishop of Jerusalem and the Middle East sent a letter about the attack and his plea for peace. His province encompasses the region which contains Israel, Palestine, Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon. Wow is right. Archbishop Hossam reminded us first to pray, and then stated that our calling as church is to build bridges of reconciliation, especially when diplomacy fails. Then our presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, in his letter to the Episcopal Church, also reminded us to pray for those who were at the time on pilgrimage in Jerusalem, for the Diocese of Jerusalem and the Middle East, and also for the people of the Diocese of Iran who are in harm's way. As has happened frequently in this past year, those calls for prayer have been met by some with criticism. They express that prayer is weak and insufficient. I would argue differently. The role of the faithful, whether Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, or any other, is first and foremost to pray. Prayer gives us that moment of pause, to take a breath, to raise our thoughts to God before we act precipitously or say things that are harmful. Prayer guides us to be our better and kinder selves and reminds us that others strive to be their better and kinder selves as well. I can only imagine the impact that could be had worldwide if, in fact, people truly paused to pray that God's will be done and that our selfish desires be put aside. And when things go wrong or cause harm, that we would pause to pray for forgiveness and guidance toward reconciliation. So, I can only support a call to prayer as our first and foremost action as the world goes through upheaval. Now, recently, as part of my sabbatical study, I traveled through northern New Mexico to look at weaving exhibits. Don't worry, I'm going to bring this back around. To look at weaving exhibits and to learn weaving as I took a weaving class. And as usual, when I set my mind in a certain direction, what is revealed is often more than what I am seeking. In this case, while at the Pueblo Indian Cultural Center in Albuquerque, I paused at a sign that described a few aspects of Pueblo Indian spirituality, among them prayer. This is what it said. In your left hand is belief. Place your left hand over your heart, for that is where belief lies. Do this with me. In your left hand is belief. Place your left hand over your heart, for that is where belief lies. In your right hand is truth. Touch your right hand to your head, for that is where truth lives. Bring your left hand to your right hand in prayer, for that is where belief and truth connect. It's a good reminder that prayer is the place of belief and truth. And when I consider this, it is where there can be no deceit. Prayer is real. Prayer is honest. It is an encounter with God in the depths of our souls, beyond our words, and the place where we cannot delude ourselves. Prayer is where we need to start. Before we pick up megaphones, write statements, or post on social media. Now, in reading today's gospel about the Samaritan woman and her encounter with Jesus, I see a metaphor for prayer. The Samaritan woman comes to the well to draw water, and she finds Jesus, who asks her for water. She is understandably taken aback when he addresses her, because he is not only a man addressing a woman by herself, he is a Judean. And Judeans and Samaritans do not interact at all. Jesus, though, meets the woman where she is, and he sees her as she is. He offers her living water. The woman's reaction is practical. I really like her. Very practical. And she says, please give me some of that water so I don't have to come back and ever fetch water again. Water is very heavy to carry. And the women would go to the well several times each day to haul water for cooking and cleaning. That is an arduous task. So she wants some of that water. Then Jesus leans into the truth of the woman's life. She says she has no husband, and Jesus reminds her that she's had five husbands, and the man she's currently with is not her husband. In the end, the woman recognizes the truth of what Jesus speaks, and she trusts him, and she believes him. She is drinking living water. Also, in the end of note, she leaves her water jar behind. And she goes to tell everybody else in the town about Jesus. Now, the invitation to the Samaritan woman in this story is to bring the practical needs of her everyday existence into contact with the reality of who Jesus is, and to acknowledge the hidden truths of her own life and connect them to this Jesus who she can believe in. Truth and belief. Now, I think that in some ways we can all relate to the Samaritan woman, to her focus on what just keeps her going from one day to another, one moment to the next, drawing water from the well. The relief in the story is that Jesus finds her in that daily life, in those practical tasks, and he extends compassion and gives meaning. He accepts who she really is, and he continues to sit at the well with her, offering living water. Perhaps you too have found yourself longing for living water. You may find that your spiritual life is feeling dry or desert-like, especially of late. You may wonder what is going on, what can be done, and if your quiet pleas for peace in our streets and in our world are enough. You are not alone. You are not alone. Back to the weaving. Another unexpected byproduct of this exploration into weaving was the multiple encounters that I had with people who are asking the same questions that we are all asking. One such encounter happened at the museum that I spoke of earlier. A woman was sitting on a bench, and as I walked by, we greeted each other, and on a whim, I asked if I could sit down. And we spent about 30 minutes just talking. I learned that she was from the Picuris Pueblo and teaches early childhood education. We shared pictures of our grandchildren. We spoke of belief and hope that they would have good lives, and also of our concern over the state of the world. That conversation was, I believe, one of prayer. For we each believe in goodness, and we each know that it will continue to take hard work to undo harm that has been done. Belief and truth met in a beautiful way, to my surprise, as it had with the Samaritan woman and many others who encounter Jesus. As our Lenten journey continues, as we awaken each morning to unexpected news and face our own concerns about those we love, I hope that we will reach out for an encounter with Jesus. I hope that we will find strangers, sit down, just listen and appreciate our shared humanity, our shared hopes and concerns. I hope that we will let those conversations be ones of prayer, whether we bow our heads or speak of God or not. Prayer matters. For it is an encounter with Jesus that reminds us of what is good, of God's gifts of grace and mercy to us and to all, no matter the changes and chances of this life. So I invite you again to bring your left hand to the center, right hand to your head. Place belief and truth together and pray with me. Gracious God, like the Samaritan woman, you find us in our daily lives and you give us living water. You find us in our struggles and you bring us hope. You find us in our uncertainty and you bring us reassurance and faith. Help us to find each other, to listen with care, and help us to be agents of that which is good, merciful, and kind. In Jesus' name, amen.